League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
So, just so you guys know, we actually do some work around here preparing for this show to be great
for
you guys.
Yourself.
Yeah, well, I mean, Nick and I do.
I know.
And you roll in time to get your sandwich. But at the same time, when we're doing things and talking about things...
I'd be mad if that wasn't true.
Yeah, but sometimes we have every intention of talking about like what's going on in the sports world that we need to talk about.
Yeah.
And sometimes, just in casual conversations around that, we realize we're on the same page on some stuff that you wouldn't... like. It's not sports related, but you're like, what the hell's going on? And what's up with this world? And that happened today.
Yeah, yeah, it did, because you said there was somebody in your neighborhood.
I walked. We were sitting there talking about some things. I said, "Would you believe that last night when I pulled in the driveway after I ran an errand, and I pull into the driveway, and I understand people have Halloween lights now and they have like ghosts hanging from the trees. They do all that's cool. It's fine. It's October, right? But like two doors down from me, full blown Christmas lights before Halloween. Are you kidding me?"
That's insane.
Full blown. The whole front of the house with lights, everything. And then in the neighborhood, they've already done like, you know, the community gazebos and the entrances to the neighborhood. All white Christmas lights. Oh, all it's October,
that would piss
people.
Me off. What neighborhood is this?
Telfair.
I would move. I would move.
Man. I'm like, what?
Bleep every one of those a-holes on the HOA property owners board.
I'm wondering. Oh. What, yeah, there's got to be a way.
I tell you what. I went yesterday to a home improvement store. Not Heinz, but I went to a home improvement store.
Oh, you're learning.
And let me tell you what. I went to buy some mulch.
Okay.
Just a couple of bags of mulch. And they have a huge Christmas section already. Like, I'm not talking like a row like you might see at Hobby Lobby or whatever. Like, this is a huge... like maybe an eighth of the store is all Christmas decorations. I got so I left. I didn't buy it from them. I got so pissed that I was like, you know what? I'll go buy it from like a mom and pop nursery or something. I mean, I'm not buying it here.
Is that laziness?
That's ridiculous.
Because it can't be you're in the spirit of Christmas in October.
If you know, it's like Jesus is looking down, just shaking his head, like, give it a rest, guys. Seriously.
If even JC is sitting there up on top going, you know.
I mean, really.
Thanksgiving, right around Thanksgiving. I get it. But October?
Yeah. It's got to be after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, for sure.
100%.
At least, which is still, it's still appalling that it happens, but could we at least do it after Halloween?
Right.
I mean, my God, that would be a lot better.
But here's
better.
The other thing. Put some thought into it. People are going to trick or treat. They're going to see this and go, what ass clown has already decorated their entire house for Christmas?
Exactly.
And we're trying to get some candy.
You're trying to get around the blown up Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer thing. No, this, I agree. This is the issues that should have came up on the debate last night. I'm telling you, if they really wanted to do something to make America better or great, there needs to be a federal mandate about Christmas decorations in this country. It's an abomination of freedom.
So, and on the debate thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I know we actually seems like...
Go bigly or go home.
Wow. I mean, we got... You didn't watch the first one.
No, I didn't watch the first one.
But you watched the last two.
Yeah.
I've watched all three.
Yeah.
The thing that's annoying to me, and it's not just the candidates, it's their vice presidents too, but...
Oh, I don't go that deep.
Answer the damn question. Politics is so phony for the simple fact that when you're asked a question, answer it. You watch these debates, and every time they get the question, they just decide, well, you know what? I'm going to actually talk about this instead, and then I'm going to point fingers and call names. And they never get down to what the voters really want to know, which is, what's your stance and policy on this.
Christmas lights.
Right.
Yes.
Talk about Christmas lights. Don't talk about the stones in the garden by the pool. Talk about the Christmas lights.
They keep giving you those generic answers. Like, how are you gonna grow the economy? Well, I'm gonna grow the economy and focus on the middle class.
I'm gonna have a tremendous economy. It's gonna be great. I'll say this about the debate. And I've made my stance very clear. I'm not voting at all. Like, and people want to say that's anti-American. No, it's probably the most American thing you can do. Just because you have the right to vote doesn't mean you have to. All right. So I don't appreciate or like any of the candidates. Ergo, I'm not going to give them my vote, which is sacred. Yeah, you like that?
Ooh.
I'm fancy.
Wow, that
but
is.
I will say this, watching it last night, I was just like, okay, this is at least better than the second debate, because the second debate was a bleep show. It was horrible.
Yeah.
But Trump, I thought, started
Except
off
for
good.
Ken Bone.
Yeah, Ken Bone was nice. But I thought it started off okay, and then you just look at Trump and you're like, dude, why do you keep talking? Because when, I tell you, I'm married to a Mexican woman, and, well, I should say a Hispanic woman. She's not from Mexico, but
too.
Her family is. But when he said the whole line about the hombres, we got some bad hombres in this country, I asked my wife about that. I was like, is that offensive? She goes, it's not necessarily offensive. I'm sure it offended plenty of people, but it's more just showing his ignorance.
You
I was
do
like,
realize
that's a
that
good
El Jefe added that to his Twitter handle because he thought it was such a badass line?
Yeah, I saw that.
But between the two of them, first of all, Hillary's got lipstick on her front, on her grill every time. And someone in the front row
just
needs to do that little motion thing with your pointer finger on your teeth going, get rid of that crap. She doesn't do that.
I think she just has bad teeth.
Well, she does that too. But at the same time, she's got to have some advisor that can see it. I mean, even Bill has got to be over there and just be like, Hillary, you got some stuff on your teeth.
Someone needs to tell.
And then on the flip side, these like nasally deep breaths and the hand gestures and the puckering from Trump. I mean, my God.
It's insane to think that out of how many millions of people in this country, that was the two best options that we could come up with.
I still can't get over that. I keep saying it over and over and over again. It is amazingly embarrassing for this country that you had all this time and all these people to choose from, and these are the two clowns that we end up with.
Yeah.
Not that I support Barry not voting at all, but it is really hard. The only problem I have with that is...
Do you not think that's right? I mean, like,
because
that's bad of me as an American not
to
vote?
I'm not going to take it that far, because everybody has their own... It's their own prerogative. They can make their own choices.
Yeah.
But at the same time...
I mean,
I'm okay
if you think that way.
You can't complain about whoever wins and what happens afterwards.
Sure I can. It goes back to the old George Carlin bit where he says, people say that if you don't vote, you can't complain. And he said, it's just the opposite. If I'm not the one that put that person in office, you did. So I have the right to complain if they are horrible. And guess what? Either one of them are going to be horrible. So, I mean, plus, I don't participate. I'm not registered Democrat. I'm not a registered Republican. So the fact that those two parties voted and chose these two people as the candidates
makes it
even worse.
Here's how bad the election is. When you say those two parties, and then you say, well, you have options because you could go to the Green Party. And then you see the ass clown for the Green Party that, like, sits there and goes, bleh, 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 to a reporter goes, oh, I was tongue-tied.
No, that's the Libertarian Party. The Green Party is the chick. I don't remember her name. Jane or whatever. I don't know.
We have no options.
No.
It's safe to say. And it's embarrassing as hell. So we have that out of the way. The debate was...
So I think, though, I think the best approach that I've seen is Madonna. And she had a way to get people involved and go out and vote for Hillary.
She convinced you to vote.
Do we have that, Nick? Let's hear it. I hope this is clear.
One more thing before I introduce this genius of comedy. If you vote for Hillary Clinton, I will give you a blowjob. Okay? So, and I am good. I am good. I'm not a douche and I'm not a tool. I take my time. I have a lot of eye contact. Yeah. And I do
I think I'm going to vote now. I just changed my mind. I've just changed my mind. I plan on voting now.
See, you have options.
Yeah.
And she was actually introducing Amy Schumer.
Whatever. Yeah. Well,
the same time, she was the opening act.
Yeah.
Because she's always dreamed about being a stand-up comedian.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is with that. There's this breakout, this rash of celebrities that are trying to do comedy, and they're not good at it. Although, that was pretty funny. I will say, that was a pretty good bit. I'm pretty sure she didn't write all of that, but I have a feeling she was ad-libbing when she started talking about eye contact and I'm pretty good and all that. I think that was her maybe just, you know, ad-libbing a little bit, but I have a feeling that was written for her. But
bottom line, people, you have options.
I'm voting
and
now.
And if you didn't before, you do now, thanks to Madonna. So there's things to ponder and pontificate. And Nick, I get it. Super freak. You didn't have to tell me that. I get what you're doing there with the music. Oh, well. Then Nick, I get what you're telling me in my
y'all
ear.
Y'all can't hear, but Nick is having a conversation with Joel.
In my
but
ear,
it's a
and
one-way.
I thought it was over the air.
Joel thought that went out over the air. So all of that sounded really weird and awkward, that was Joel.
That's me. I do it all the time. I feel good about it, too. But there's basically Jordan memes of you crying. And
oh, these are great. I don't care. If they were a little bit better, I would retweet them. They're all right.
Let's reel it back in, shall we, guys?
No.
We've got 2:30. We've got our fantasy football expert, Mark Flood. He'll be joining us with your fantasy questions and more. He'll be a regular contributor to the show, so he will be available. But again, just for one segment, so you have to chime in and be a part of that during the 2:30 to 2:45 segment. And other than that, you can reach us at 713-780-ESPN, or you can hit us up on Twitter. We're here till 4, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Barry Laminek, Joel Blank till 4 o'clock. Nick Sciarra behind the glass. You know what, guys? I'm going to change gears just a little bit. I'm going to do this little organic thing for you, Barry, because I just came across this, and this is just like under the category of it had to be now and it had to be him. But I'm going to read this to you.
Okay.
And it's going to be prevalent because it involves tonight's game. But it really involves Houston Texan fans.
Uh-oh.
Ready?
Yes.
Here we go. Brian Hoyer is seeking to tie an NFL record tonight by throwing for 300 yards and no interceptions for the fifth consecutive game.
Wow.
Now, you can swallow that and digest it and think about it and ponder it and do whatever you want with it. But you can also then take the flip side of that. Brock Osweiler has now thrown at least one pick without throwing for 300 yards and I believe 7 games.
Jeez.
Where's the Tom Savage talk when you need it? Because I knew those two names were going to come up a lot when Brock started crapping the bed and when Hoyer took over the Bears.
Dude, Hoyer has 100.8 QB rating.
Yeah.
6 touchdowns, no interceptions.
No picks.
Where's he been his entire career?
In Houston.
Oh, I keep telling you guys.
In New England.
Just like I've been saying that the
in
Aggies
Cleveland.
Are poor tacklers, and now that keeps coming up as a.
I got to give Barry his props, by the way. I got to give Barry props, right? He has said over and over about the Aggies tackling woes.
Yes.
No one wants to address it. And it came out today with his favorite thing, numbers to back it up.
Yeah. And it's been now that it's kind of picking up its steam nationally. But it's true. Like, I saw a stat where somebody said the Aggies missed 31 tackles against Tennessee. Alabama has missed 24 all year.
Oh, that's bad.
That's real bad. Like, they are. And the thing is, if you look at their, if you look numbers wise, like the amount of passing yards they give up, they're like 109th in pass defense. And the reason is probably yards after catch. I mean, if you look at it, because in space, for whatever reason, their secondary just does not tackle. So I think, to me, that's going to be a huge difference in this ball game because I think both front sevens can stop the run if they so choose. But that secondary, I mean, you've got the Aggies wide receivers who are probably the best total wide receiver core, without a doubt, in the SEC, maybe the nation. I don't know. But they're one of the best. And you know, I mean, Alabama's secondary is no slouch for sure. But that's going to be a really key matchup. But so is the Aggies' secondary's ability to tackle. in space. That's to me, that's a big key for this game.
People
man.
Don't realize from a defensive back perspective, and Travis and I were talking about this because Deion Sanders is one of his guys. It's a Florida State guy. But we had the, it started with Richard Sherman, and it transformed to being about Deion Sanders, too. There's too many defensive backs that even from the college perspective, when they're on the college teams, all they're worried about is pass defense.
Yeah.
And then they not only don't want to tackle, they don't know how to tackle, and they just avoid tackling. Someone the other day, and it just showed me the ignorance and how bad some of these broadcasters are on some of these games flipping on the NFL Sunday Ticket. I was watching a Seahawks game, and they started talking about what a good tackler Richard Sherman is and how much he loves to tackle. I go, go look at the tape.
No, that doesn't
He's
make any
horrible.
Sense.
He's horrible.
Yeah.
He just he didn't even want to tackle. So that's the thing that I'm like, you've got to be kidding me, man. I mean, tackling is a obviously it's a huge deal, but for defensive backs, it's not just about pass defense. You got to be able to lock down, especially because when the running back gets to the edge and the D-line is tied up, you got to come up and make a play.
Yeah. Yeah, and a lot of these guys, they're lighter. I mean, they're the smallest guys on the field usually. And so they're not out there form tackling, wrapping guys up, putting that shoulder on the waist and all that. They're just out there trying to bump somebody down. And a lot of times these running backs are so big, especially Alabama running backs. Good luck to bump down.
Here's something too.
Any Alabama player, much less just their running backs. Yeah,
you're an Aggie guy, but for all you Aggies out there, fathom this, because this is hard for me to actually put into perspective just yet, but I want to see the game so I can actually make a call on it. They're saying that even Saban is saying this may be his most talented Alabama team ever.
That's sick.
When you think about all the talent that he's had and the national championships and the NFL talent that's been on his rosters from year to year, that is crazy.
You know why? Part of what makes this team so scary versus Alabama teams of the past is that their offense is so much more wide open that you don't know what to expect from them. They were one of the last. I mean, now it's probably LSU, but they were one of the last SEC teams to kind of open up the offense a little bit. They were very run heavy, more pro style. But now they're opening up. They're running some spread, so it's made it that much more difficult because they've always had the athletes to do it.
Yeah. Well, maybe the fact that they're saying this about Saban's team now, is because you go from a pass happy offense with Amari Cooper to a run-happy offense with the Heisman Trophy winner, Derrick Henry.
Yep.
But now you just start saying, okay, I'm just loaded with weapons. I don't want to like concentrate on one and not the other. And the fact that it's scary for the rest of college football when you realize when he starts going to a spread and he starts moving it around and he starts going five receivers, you know, load five receivers on one set and the next time go with a power eye. He can do that whenever he wants.
Sure.
We talk about the University of Texas early in the year when they were going to do the whole, you know, two-headed quarterback thing and you could do the 18-wheel package with swoops or you could throw the ball downfield. He could make that look silly with all the different packages he could put in there with the talent he's got.
Yeah, it is. It's scary. You know, a lot of people are saying that there's going to be more NFL-ready talent on the field in this one game than any other game you're going to watch. And in years past, that might have still been true when you had two top 10 teams and Alabama was one of them, but it was usually pretty heavy towards Alabama unless it was an Alabama-LSU matchup. But to their credit, the Aggies do have a lot of NFL caliber teams.
They sure do.
Safeties, obviously their defensive
the one
ends and Hall
climbing
and Garrett.
The draft boards like weekly getting in. He might even be a first round pick at the end of it all.
Yeah, Hall and Garrett, obviously the bookends that they talk about. I mean, the receiving core, there's several guys that you're going to see drafted. They may not be first round picks. But Ricky Seals-Jones,
I have
a feeling he's going to be playing on Sunday.
Even if it's
Josh Reynolds?
Don't say just for next year.
Yeah.
By the time the guys that are on this roster for A&M finish their college careers, you will look at that roster and you will go down the list and you will have a plethora of NFL guys.
Yep.
Not just for next year's draft, but for the next 2 to 3 years' draft. Because like you said, they're all over the place.
Yeah.
Kevin Sumlin in recruiting is not the problem.
No.
It's being able to maximize the talent you get when you put them on the field.
Well, and the one thing is they've been playing catch up with the SEC because the Aggies have always, it seems like, and maybe it's just me, but and I heard someone else mention this, but it seems like they've always been a bit undersized when it came to playing in the SEC against Alabama and LSU, but it looks like they're catching up a little bit to that as well. So that might give them a better chance. But, you know, we say all this, we talk about the players, we talk about the matchups and who can do. I'm amazed that the spread is as much as it is. Yeah. I've seen 17. I've
17
seen 19.
Is what I saw.
I'm amazed, but it doesn't surprise me as an Aggie fan because I know what the Aggies are
capable of.
There's two outcomes to this. They get blown out or they win at the last second.
They lost by 18 last year.
Yeah, right? Well, I mean, when you watch them, that's usually one of the two things. They're either going to go in there and get blown out, and it's going to be bad from the get-go, or they're going to go in there and win, you know, last second, last play, last drive, something like that.
So the other thing, in between. Instead of worrying about that, though, you should really be worried about the fact with four bottom of the top 25 SEC teams playing each other, you will eliminate two of them from the top 25 by the time we hit Saturday night.
That very well could be the case.
I'm just throwing it out there.
That very well could be the case. You know, maybe Auburn and LSU flip-flop.
To what, 35th and 36th?
By the way, the safety that we were talking about, Justin Evans, I just wanted to say his name.
Evans is a bad dude.
Yeah.
Now, and by the way, for you guys, because we like to keep you informed on all aspects of everything, and we mentioned the debate, just so you know, because Trump called Clinton a nasty woman twice, do you realize that Spotify streams of Janet Jackson's 86 hit single Nasty have spiked 250% since Trump called Hillary Clinton such a nasty woman?
And by the way, we screwed up because by bringing it up, we've had like 11 texts just say Trump 2016.
That's actually, all you. You actually, always stir the Trump pot.
Actually, one dude sent out a text that says Trump 2017, which that doesn't surprise me either.
At all.
But yeah, and then somebody said, why would anyone want a job from Madonna? Well, you have to ask. I suppose
there's a lot that could be said there that we don't need. Hey, so here's the deal. We've got Mark Flood coming up next segment, fantasy football questions. So now is your time. Starting right now, Adrian, we're going to get to you real quick. Nick, we're going to take Adrian real quick and then hit the break, and then we'll start the fantasy football. And Adrian wants to talk about Brock Osweiler. Adrian, real quick, but what's up, man?
Hey, Joel, I figured out what's wrong with Brock.
Tell me.
I went to the lab, and Bill O'Brien, you're half your quarterback's problem. You know how I know this? Because now you figured out that your running back works good in space, and you've also figured out, finally, after six games, that your quarterback runs good in the seven-minute offense. You want to be impressive? Take your 7 minutes, turn it into 60 minutes, and come back here with a win. If we see that crap that we've been seeing, we'll all know now that you're the little kid in the deep end of the pool with the adults that shouldn't be there. All right, fellas. And Barry,
Adrian,
lock it in, baby. You already gave us the big win for the Aggie.
Adrian, appreciate the call. That's why I keep saying Bill O'Brien is on the hot seat, because of the fact that it's become painfully obvious. And that's another good point I was going to bring up. I noticed that after watching the Texans, what we were talking about yesterday.
Uh-huh.
They've got to play fast. Those last three drives, the last two regulation and one overtime, they had to play fast because of the clock and because and things like that. They are much better when they play fast. And
most
Osweiler
teams
looks
are.
More
it's so weird. Yeah, most teams are.
So there you have it. Hey, next segment, Mark Flood, fantasy questions. Ready, set, go. Nick will answer your questions. Be nice to him because he's nice on the phone. You just don't want to meet him in person. ESPN 97.5 FM.
This is Dick's Sporting Goods Week on ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
What up, gang? Joel Blank, Barry Laminack till 4 o'clock. Nick Sharara behind the glass. And this is a new segment we're going to have that's going to kick some ass. We're bringing in someone because we're always identifying with you, the people, and what you like and what you need and what you want in terms of your sports and entertainment fix. We know fantasy football is a big thing for you, so we have reached out and touched someone that will be touching you with knowledge. Every Thursday, 2:30 p.m., Mark Flood's going to join us. And Mark is in the studio right now, and Mark's going to give you a little background on why you need to listen to him, and then he's going to give you a little background on things you might not normally think about that you should consider when you're setting your lineup each week, and then we'll get to your calls. So without further ado, Mark, welcome to the show.
Awesome. Joel, thanks for having me. Barry, good to meet you guys. I appreciate it. So my name is Mark Flood. I am the CTO for thegamerwall.com. We actually do esports head-to-head matches and tournaments. That's my day job. Mm-hmm. On the side, I'm also the commissioner for the Austin Premier League down the road in Austin. We're $1,000 buy-in league. I'm the three-time champion.
Nice.
I've been a fantasy player since...
How many people in that league?
12.
That's a pretty decent payout.
Been playing. I remember starting fantasy basketball with virtual GM on Yahoo probably 15 years ago. On top of all that, I'm a huge data nerd. So back at home, I've
you
got my
Barry, you and Barry are going to get along great.
Oh yeah, I'll go as far down the rabbit hole as you guys want to go. But you know, I've got quite a bit. You know, to start off with, when I listen to radio shows, especially on fantasy, mm-hmm. we get to start or sit, and I think there's a lot of value in, hey, should I start this guy or this guy, right?
Right.
And that's kind of a simple way to look at it. What I encourage people to think about is to go a couple levels just below. Who do I think is going to score more points, and really focus on the composition of your team. So what I mean by that is, let's take an example. Let's say that you are in the middle of your league, and yeah, you're 4-4 or 3-3, whatever, and you're playing the number one guy in the league. This is the best guy in the league, and he scores lots of points. So if that's the case, most likely you're going to want to be able to take some risks in that matchup that you wouldn't take otherwise. So when it comes to a start or sit question, you'd be looking at your guys. And one of the first things I would look at is the floor and the ceiling and how likely those floor and ceilings are to occur. So if you've got a wide receiver, a DeSean Jackson type of player that is a boom or bust, you know, I might consider starting a player like that more so than Rashad Jennings or something like that. Some guy's probably going to get 15 touches, but it's unlikely that he's going to blow up and have a ton of points. So I rarely get in a situation where I'm deciding two players and it's just, oh, who do I think is going to score more points? It goes a little bit more in-depth than that, and I think most players are going to see a lot of value from that type of thinking mm-hmm. as opposed to just, you know, who am I going to play for based on points? You know, really at the end of the day, everyone's got their own fantasy team and you're the one that's got to go to bed knowing what you did. So I encourage people to kind of, yeah, you want to take in as much advice as you can and as much information as possible. But ultimately, at the end of the day, it's...
Now, we have Daryl Morey for the Rockets, the general manager. We have Daryl Barry, who is our normal stat geek here. And now we have you breaking down all this stuff. But I think what people fail to realize is you're putting money into this in most cases. You should be concerned with trying to get it out. So you need all the information you can, and you need to do the right things, being able to digest all that information.
Right.
So with that being said, and we already had someone tweet me that said they can't call in, but let's talk about like some of the key occurrences in the NFL that have some issues on the table. Eddie Lacy, now on IR for the Packers. You'll learn very quickly, Mark, I'm a diehard Packer fan. I'm from there, and this is painful to me. But people want to know, is Nile Davis worth picking up? And then the other question is the kid, the rookie off their practice squad, a better option, especially this week, because Nile Davis hasn't learned the playbook yet?
So this week, I would say that it's going to be really really difficult to put a Packer running back in your lineup at all. Right. So I feel your pain on Eddie Lacy. He's on my team. He's now in my IR spot. And I actually did pick up Niles Davis, but he's riding pine this week.
Okay.
As far as this week's production, mm-hmm. I'm fine. What's the guy's name? Don Jackson.
Don Jackson. Yep.
Yeah. If Don Jackson goes off for 40 points or something crazy like that, yeah, I'm gonna be okay with that, because that would be so out of the blue, and there'd be nothing that you could point to today that would indicate that something like that's gonna happen. And so I think there's value in picking up one or both of those guys. If I had to pick one, I'm going to pick Nile Davis, just because I've seen him produce before. Mm-hmm. But as far as this week's go, I'm not starting either one of those guys.
See, and Ty Montgomery is a guy that they put in the tailback position along with Randall Cobb every now and then, but both guys still in your league are going to be considered wide receivers, so it's not going to do you any good. Although you would get rushing yards for those guys, which in most leagues you still get credit for. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. And depending on what your flex settings are,
right.
I mean, you can throw Ty Montgomery in your flex. But again, I mean, you know, depending on who's on your roster, it's unlikely that I would recommend Ty Montgomery over pretty much any other legitimate
right.
option. Randall Cobb, that's a different story. He's more of a, he's got quite a bit of value, actually. So if you have him on your roster, there's a good chance he's starting.
Aaron, you've been holding. You're from Tomball. You want to ask my man Mark a fantasy question? Go right ahead.
Yeah, man. Hey, guys. How are y'all doing today?
Good, man.
So, actually, my question was about Don Jackson. I think you almost answered it.
I was kind of contemplating putting him in and starting him over to Theo Riddick because Theo Riddick is injured. And but it's a Thursday night game, so, you know, if I wait, I can't, you know, play Don Jackson. But, you know, I know you said you probably wouldn't start either him, Miles Davis, or even Ty Montgomery. So I guess my other options would be Ryan Matthews or Rashard Jennings, but, you know, I guess that's up to whether or not Theo Riddick's injured or not. But would you recommend putting Don Jackson in just to, on a whim?
So the choice is Don Jackson over Rashard Jennings?
Rashard Jennings, Ryan Matthews, and Don Jackson on my bench. I was thinking about starting Don Jackson because Theo Riddick is on my lineup, but Theo Riddick is injured and may or may not play this weekend. But I would, of course, have to make that decision because it's a Thursday night game.
Let me ask you this. Where are you ranked currently in your league? You know, how much of a must-win game is this?
I'm 2-4 right now, so I'm down. I'm down.
Gotcha. So you need a pop and some help here. So here's my train of thought on this. First, you need a win. You need points. It's unlikely that Rashard Jennings or Ryan Matthews is going to give you. We know almost certainly that neither one of those two guys are going to go off. So, you know,
right.
Despite what I just said about Don Jackson in a situational play like that. You know, we haven't really seen him before. We don't know. But in your case, I would rather go with the unknown than what would probably just be, you know, 4 or 5 points from Rashard Jennings or Ryan Matthews.
So in other words, unless you're a really dominant team or you're, you know, one of the dominant teams facing another dominant team and you need to rely on points, you're suggesting that a lot of players out there look at a high risk, high reward. Especially if you're trying to play catch up in your leagues, right? Like, so that's why you're saying in some cases it might be good to start him and take that risk, and in some cases it doesn't make sense. But if you're trying to play catch up and you're playing, especially if you're playing a team that is looking like they have a bigger projected win over you, take that chance.
Exactly. You know, 5 or 6 points from whoever isn't going to help you much. Versus, let's say Don Jackson throws up a goose egg. Yeah. Odds are that's probably not going to hurt you much worse than than going
the 5 points and the 0. But if he goes off and gets 15, then it's a 10-point swing.
Exactly. Yeah. And then, you know, still, you know, going back to, you got to be able to live with the outcome. You know, if this is the first game that Rashard Jennings goes off for, well, yeah, that kind of sucks that you missed that opportunity.
But I got Rashard Jennings on my bench. I'm waiting for him to try and do something for a basically non-existent Giants running game.
But Joel, you drafted all the Packers. So it doesn't make any sense.
I did not.
But a good example of that, I had Ajayi from the Dolphins and then cut him because he wasn't doing anything and I needed the room, and now he's going off. So
yeah,
there you go.
Exactly.
That's why Barry doesn't do fantasy much. Joel just doesn't do it well.
I had Lacy and I've got Rashard Jennings. We gotta see what
I have. Lacy, Rashard Jennings, and Randall Cobb. So there you have it.
Okay.
So to Barry's point, I do have a few. Sean Clear Lake, you got a fantasy question for my man Mark. Welcome to the show.
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call. I'm in kind of a slump, 2-4, and the thing that's pissed me off is last 2 weeks I lost by some of 2 points. So I got to make it up this week. I have a flex spot open, but I have a wide variety of options. So it goes Jaquizz Rodgers, Chris Ivory, T.J. Yeldon, or Will Fuller. And also a defense question, who would you rather start, Green Bay or New York's, the Giants' defense this week?
Who are the Giants playing?
The Giants are playing the Rams in Los Angeles. So it's that cross-country trip. So I didn't trust that body clock, so I don't know.
That's right. They're in London. Go ahead, my man.
So first off, out of that group of flex players you said, I think Jaquizz Rodgers is the easy choice there. I think you should probably expect him to get at least 15 touches this week for Tampa Bay. Doug Martin's not back yet, and everything I've seen indicates that he's going to be heavily involved in that offense. T.J. Yeldon is one of those guys. Golly, he's on my team. It's just – for someone that you'd think has so much talent, he's just disappointing, and I'll keep him on my bench until I see him produce. Who is the other
Fuller,
option?
Fuller was the other option.
Fuller's hamstring
against Denver.
Right?
Well, against Denver,
well,
even, if
true.
He,
yeah.
even if he plays, which it's questionable.
Two lockdown corners. I mean, I'm not real impressed with Brock Osweiler, and then you've got Denver's defense. I mean, I think Jaquizz Rodgers is the choice there. And then as far as your defense, you said Green Bay or New York.
Yep.
He's gone, yeah.
Yeah, New York was taking on the Rams in London, and Green Bay, obviously Chicago at home.
I love those Thursday night defenses. Usually offense is really bad on Thursday night, and defenses tend to perform better. So I'll take the Green Bay defense on Thursday.
There you go. Dustin, you are calling from Sugarland. You have a fantasy question for my man, Mark Wood.
Yes, sir. My question is, would you start Matt Ryan or would you do Eli Manning?
You know, that's actually a really good question there. You know, I'm going to go with Matt Ryan. You just ride the hot hand. You know, he's hot. Just stick with him. You know, we might be talking about a variance of a few points between those two guys. So, you know, as long as one of them doesn't throw up a dud, you can't really go wrong with that decision. But I go Matt Ryan there.
There you go. So here's the deal. Mark's going to be with us every Thursday, 2:30 for one segment. So we want to make sure you get the questions loaded up. But Mark, if they did not get in and get a call during this show, is there a way to reach you on Twitter or otherwise where they can still hit you up for advice and information?
Sure, absolutely. Use our GamerWall handle at TheGamerWall. I'll be happy to answer any questions there.
That's on Twitter.
Yes, sir.
At TheGamerWall. Mark, appreciate you joining us. Again, gang, remember, he's going to be here now every Thursday, 2:30 p.m. Mark your calendars. Make sure you have your questions. We'll hopefully have answers, and we'll do it weekly right here, ESPN 97.5 FM.
This is Dick's Sporting Goods Week on ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel Blank, Barry Laminack, till 4 o'clock, almost 2 in the books and an hour to go. We had your fantasy football questions. We told you how to reach our guy. Mark Wood is available. He will be here every week, Thursdays, 2:30 p.m. So he's going to be available for you guys. So now we get back to the show. I have good news for my partner because I know that this is the kind of thing that absolutely gets him going. The 20th anniversary of his favorite shoe. No. The Space Jam movie, where the shoe came from, will be shown in 450 theaters around the country November 13th and 16th. Nick already said he's going.
Can I tell you, I've never seen the movie.
Come on. That's a classic.
Time out. He's got the shoes, but he's never seen the movie.
Yeah, that's two different things, though. That one is not directly related to the other.
You got to watch
it. It can be.
No. It's not. I can't. No, I don't have to. I can buy Space Jam shoes without ever having seen the movie. Okay. Like, there's a lot of movies I haven't seen.
I think Space Jam will make you cry.
I think I had a list
Space
at one
Jam
point.
Will make him cry?
I think he'll make him cry.
You think so?
Yeah, I mean, as emotional as he's admitted to be. I mean, I am too, but I think he'll make you cry.
Well, we've got a guy in the studio right now that can speak on that. Not necessarily Space Jam.
Yeah.
But one of the great historical coaches in the NFL that also has been known to be emotional about how much he cares about his teams, Mr. Dick Vermeil joins us right now. Coach,
how are you guys?
How are you?
You guys staying out of trouble in here?
Huh? We're trying. I mean, we've got some things on the people calling in with some things, and we're just
mind-boggled.
But what brings you to town?
So, Vermeil Wines, you know, Specs is our best organization, and Houston is our best city outside of the Napa Valley.
Okay.
So I spent some time here, and I've got a wine dinner tonight with Wells Fargo.
Okay.
Private one last night. We had one at the Runners by the Bayou with Wells Fargo. And we've been just left, we just left Morton's.
Yep.
These kind of places sell wines.
So you're not going to very top shelf places, are you?
We go to, our wines are high quality wines, and I'm
That's
not
great.
Bragging. They are. That's what they are. They're not inexpensive wines. We don't make a lot of it, not huge volume. We're making 2,500 cases, give or take a few. And we're selling out. I called in for some more to help Specs out with some Sauvignon Blanc. Can't give it to them. We don't have any more. So
this will be my wife's favorite segment ever that I do on radio. I promise you.
That's fantastic.
Oh, yeah. She's going to love this.
So life after football goes right to the winery.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you know, people can check us out. Just Google vermeilwines.com.
Okay.
We have wine club members in Houston.
V-E-R-M-E-I-L.
Vermeil, really, for French.
There you go.
Oui.
Well, so while we have you and you're in town, always great to kind of get a non-biased approach to what's going on here in Houston. They got a little problem with the quarterback position.
I think that, yes, well, they do. I think that the problem is maybe more generated by the overall protection problems a little bit. Yeah. I think he, until he gets totally comfortable in the scheme and all that kind of stuff, and doesn't have a lot of experience, you know.
Yeah.
I think the more protection you can give him, the better he's going to be. And I think also, personally, I've seen this, and I feel when someone all of a sudden receives a big contract, they go into a ball game with more pressure on themselves. They're going to try to prove to everybody they're worth the money.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're glad they got it, but they're humble yet. They haven't learned it, and sometimes they can try too hard. And I think gradually you'll see an improved performance, but it might be also in respective to the improvement of the offensive line play.
Well, we've talked a little bit about that aspect of it, him being still new, mm-hmm. fairly new in regards to his career. Would you, and it's a catch-22, right? I mean, he's making all that money, but he only had 7 starts when he got signed to that contract. As a coach, would you try to scale back the playbook? Or is it a case where you say, well, you got the big money, it's time to be the big man?
Well, I think you've got to do what he can do right now and then put pressure on him to do more, maybe at a little quicker pace. And I'd run the ball more.
See, oh, yeah, I was going to say, they got Lamar Miller. They know got in him.
Sometimes you got to run the ball in spite of the average per carry. Just get more runs each game.
Interesting you said about the pressure. And put a little bit of pressure on him from an organizational standpoint when they start giving him more. But also the extra pressure. So he's coming out of the gate slow. And he struggles a little bit. Mm-hmm. But then you get the national TV game last week on Sunday. And now all of a sudden you come out of that where he was getting killed until the final 3 drives.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden you got another national TV game. And this one, you can't look past the fact this is the Brock Bowl. This is him going back against his old team in Denver. Now, talk about pressure.
Yeah, we know. And the whole thing, these people, the Texans have played as tough a schedule. They have played as tough a schedule as anybody in football. And that really, it's the fact that they're sitting there 4-2. I mean, when you start playing, now you go play to Denver, right. You know, and you go, that's tough. I went up there 5 years in a row as a chief head coach and never won once and beat them every time in Kansas City.
Well, you know what? We know you know about quarterbacks, yeah. And we know you don't have to draft them to get them. So, kind of, we don't know how this happened, but we have a caller on hold that says he can talk to you a little bit about quarterback play and your coaching abilities. I believe your name is... Is it Keith? Is it Kurt?
It is Kurt.
Kurt, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you.
Hey, Kurt. Great to hear your voice in my ear. I'll tell you that, buddy.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kurt Warner joins the show. Kurt Warner, thanks for joining us. Tell us a little bit about this man sitting to my left and what he meant for your career.
Don't tell the truth.
You spent some time at my favorite place, Green Bay, but you got an opportunity thanks to Coach Vermeil.
Man, I mean, I can't say enough good things about Coach Vermeil. I mean, obviously, personally, you know, he's meant so much to my career. I don't get an opportunity without him seeing something and taking a chance on me. But more importantly, just to be around a coach that loves his players. And I think that's probably the best way to put it, is that heck of a football coach and all of that, but he was a coach that everybody wanted to play for. We loved going out and battling for him because we knew that you know, that he wanted the best for us in every situation. You know, that he, you know, wore his emotions on his sleeve, like everybody knows, but they were true emotions. And you know, it was just so much fun. We didn't want to let him down because we knew how much our success meant to him. And it was just so cool playing for him in a business where so many coaches are out for their own success or worrying about, you know, how they survive or what's best for them. He was a coach that really, in every means that you can think of, was out to do what was best for his players first, you know, and himself second, which, like I said, in our business was extremely rare. You know, and that was just, when I was with him, you know, the coolest thing is to talk to so many of his ex-players and to realize how he stays in touch with them and how he knows what everybody's doing, guys that go all the way back to when he coached him in high school. But it just really speaks to the character of the man more than even the coach. And so I'm indebted to him for a lot of reasons. Of course, my football career, but more importantly, the way he lived his life and the impact that he had on me and so many others.
That's not a bad thing to hear, Coach, is it?
Yeah. He knows how I feel.
Yeah.
Now, Coach, 1999, Trent Green goes down in the preseason.
Yeah.
Obviously, next man up, Kurt Warner. Were you thinking Super Bowl?
I knew we would be a very good football team. And as an organization, Mike Martz, myself, Al Saunders, Jim Hannifin, our coaches, we felt we could be a playoff team. We could not anticipate being a world champion. We could not anticipate Kurt Warner going from the scout team player of the year before, voted by his defensive team because he always acted as the opposing quarterback in preparation to play the next, to the most valuable player in the league. There's no way you could predict that. To me, I relate it to there's no way they could predict who's going to win the Medal of Honor when you land at Iwo Jima.
Yeah.
You don't know who he's going to be.
Right.
Kurt Warner was one of those guys, and I will always be in debt for him.
I got to tell you, as a lifelong Oiler fan, nothing made me happier than to watch you guys go out there and do what you did to the Tennessee Titans. I can't thank you guys enough for bringing that joy to my life. So I'm glad I get this opportunity to thank you both.
I've been in Houston the last 2 days doing wine work, and at least three people, old Houston people, come up and thank me as if I had anything to do with it, but thank me because they didn't want the ex-owner, Bud Adams,
right,
to have a world championship.
Thank you, guys. You have no idea what that means to this city.
Watch me go here. So I already said, you know, you spent some time in Green Bay, which already puts you at top of my book because I'm a huge Packer fan. But how about the fact that we used to have an arena football team here, the Texas Terror and the Houston Thunder Bears, and you used to come in and scorch the Arena League, and you were arguably always the greatest arena football player of all time. I remember these things because I know you used to light up everybody in the Arena League, and then you were able to take it a step further and win a Super Bowl. That's pretty awesome stuff.
You're darn right.
Yeah, I mean, it was an awesome ride. But I love the arena football. And, you know, I'm hearing that it looks like it might be shutting down, which is disappointing just knowing how much fun I had in the game and, you know, what a platform it was for me to catapult to the next level. Had there not been an arena league, because nobody in the NFL wanted me, nobody in Europe wanted me, I don't know what I would have done. I may have stopped playing. So fortunate to be a part of that for so long. And I think you say that I was the best arena player only because I went on to have success at the next level. There was some really, really good players and really, really good quarterbacks that played in the Arena Football League that just unfortunately never got the right opportunity. But there were some really good players there, and I wish it would have done a little bit better and got a little more notoriety, because I think there would have been more players that came from there and made a name for themselves in the NFL.
Well, you were no Clint Dalzell in my book, but believe me, awesome. You could sling it around.
Great.
I want to get both of your opinions on something, because we've got a coach here. We've got a starting QB that was a backup QB. So I want to get your perspective on what's going on in Dallas with Dak and Tony Romo. But not just that. But more about it, having a GM and an owner kind of dictate through the media that, hey, Tony Romo's our guy, and then start to back off of that. As a coach, how do you react to that? And if you're the starter or the backup, how do you react to that as well, Kurt? But, Coach, you go first. How do you deal with that as a coach?
Well, you know, I don't know the total situation of the Dallas Cowboys, but I know this. I always had a policy, and I've talked to the team about it. If you're injured as a starter, you come back as a starter. But I always reserve the right to say, now, if the person that replaces you plays at a level better than you were playing prior to your injury, then I owe it to the football team to go with the performance that's playing better right now. And so that put Tony Romo in a position. What you'd have to do, and I would do, I would go back and evaluate Tony Romo's three last games and see what level he was playing and how much it would hurt or help our team to start him now and set Prescott down, because Prescott is playing lights out, as we all know. But Prescott's got a great supporting cast. He doesn't have to win the game by himself. He's got the running back that's outstanding. But what he's really got that's outstanding is an offensive line that's allowing him to demonstrate the skills that he has earlier than most quarterbacks get the opportunity to.
Kurt, how do you feel? And you've been in both situations. I'm obviously not a controversy like that, but how would you react?
Well, I mean, I would even go so far as, you know, when you talk about the coaching decision, the other thing, Coach, that I see with the Dallas Cowboys is that they're winning a certain brand of football. And I don't know if they're a 5-1 football team, top to bottom, if you put them out there in any situation. I believe they're 5-1 because of the nature of how they're playing. Their quarterback is managing games. They are running it when there's 8 and 9 in the box because they're good enough at it and they're managing games. The quarterback isn't making, you know, big plays, but he's not making the big mistakes either. And so I think the next question becomes, if you put Tony Romo back in there, You know, he, to me, in my mind, he's the better quarterback, hands down. He is better than Dak Prescott at so many different things. But can you play the game the same way if Tony Romo is placed back in there? Because he's a gunslinger very much like me, Coach. Mm-hmm. It would have been hard for me to just sit back there and hand it off into 8 in the box and 9 in the box and not try to make every throw. But you know, coming with those chances come some big plays, of course, but also some negative plays.
Right.
And so I don't know if that team wins as much if the quarterback's making some of those mistakes and the defense is on the field more and they're not able to run the football like they are. So that, to me, becomes a really tough coach's question, is not just who's better, but who fits our style of play and allows us to be the most successful right now. And then as the quarterback, that's a tough one, you know, because as a quarterback like Tony Romo that's been in the league and had success, you believe you give your team the best chance to win regardless. No matter how good the guy in front of you plays, you feel you're better. And you can do more for your team. And I know Tony feels that. And, you know, but at the same time, you're also going, I want Dak to be successful. I want this team to be successful. I understand how they're being successful with him in there. But it is very tough as a competitor and a guy that's had so much success like Tony Romo to watch his team finally look like they're in a position to compete, you know, maybe for a championship, but definitely deep in the playoffs, to sit back and go, I've worked this hard and done so much for this organization and been so good. I can't sit back and watch these guys, you know, and maybe the best team that I've had since I've been here go into the playoffs without me. So it's a really tough situation for a starting quarterback.
Well, Kirk, we really appreciate the time and the guest segment with Coach here.
That's a startler. Love you, buddy. You know that.
What a great surprise.
That was such a surprise. Wonderful. We'll stay in touch.
Voice for a minute.
Yeah. You know, his son's a real fine wide receiver right now.
Oh, yeah.
He was featured in Sports Illustrated last week. I say, he's in there. What did they put? You know, they list the kids there.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Faces in the crowd.
Led the state of Arizona last year in receiving. He's right up there in top now as a senior in high school.
Wow.
Yeah, he just broke the state record in receptions for a career. And great young man and a great football player. And that's how I term him, Coach, is a lot of people want to look at, well, is he fast enough? Is he this? Is he that? Well, you know, sometimes you just have football players that just understand how to play, and you'll take those guys over anybody else. So he's a great little football player, and I'm hoping his career can continue in college.
Kirk, thanks so much for joining us. Best wishes for everything going on in the future, but we really appreciate it.
Take care. Talk to you soon.
Love to the family, Coach.
Okay. All right, same to you.
Bye-bye.
And Coach Vermeil's going to wrap. We're going to wrap it up here. We want to remind you guys one more time, if you're looking for great wine, vermeilwines.com. It's vermeilwines.com. Check it out. Coach has the winery. He told you all about it. You want some great wine, get to Vermeil Wines.
And they're donating $2 for each wine, for each bottle sold, to breast cancer awareness. So National Breast Cancer Foundation.
Coach Dick Vermeil with us right here, ESPN 97.5 FM.
Is Dick's Sporting Goods Week on ESPN 97.5.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisiscle.com/podcast.